Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head, man, and we got a South Central soon-to-be legend. I don't want to put too much on it, but this young man, I'm very impressed with what he does. I've been watching for the last couple of years, and you can definitely hear the struggle that he comes from. You know what's going to be happening very, very soon. He goes, you know, undrafted, but it's going to be drafted pretty soon, I think, man. We got Bell, South Central Zone in the building, man. What's up, bro?
What's up, man? I'm on the real. I can't believe it.
Listen, hey,
it's happening,
man. Homegrown Radio, man. What's up, my guys, man? I appreciate y'all. Y'all been holding me down for a minute, man. So it's all love, man. It's a blessing to be on here for real.
Like I was telling you,
what's funny is that. Go ahead.
No, I was telling you, like, I remember. I think Salas was the one who put me on you. And he was like, man, you got to check out Bell's music or whatever. And I was so surprised when I heard it because, you know, I don't like nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know I have that reputation. But, like, I was very impressed by, you know, your skill set. But then also, like, I could hear, like, I don't know. You just got something very unique about your style and the way that you rap. And so I was impressed by it. And I mean, I told you that, but I just want the word.
No, thank you. And I remember that day when you came in there, man, it was like unexpected. But you came in there, we chopped it up. You gave me a lot of good game that night, you know. So that was love. That's a blessing. And, you know, Sal's an OG in the game, you know, always show love. You show everybody love, you know. So shout out to Big Sal's too, man.
Yeah, man. And I remember a few years back, man, the way I ran into you. Man, shout out to the big homie, Cron Don.
Oh, yeah.
Now, everybody that don't know legendary Cron Don, Strong Arm Steady, you might know him as Marvin Jones III in the corporate world from Black Lightning, but he's from a legendary L.A. group as an actor!
A.K.A. Tobias Well.
Exactly. From Black Lightning, right? Yeah. But, you know, we've known Cron Don for years. You know what I'm saying? He's been to the apartment homegrown where we, you know, kind of kicked things off. And over the years that I've known Cron Don, he's never told me to check out somebody, right? Yeah. And I was at a show with Willie B and Daylight. They were performing one night, and he pulled me to the side. He said, yo, Chuck, man, you know I don't do this. And he talked about you and talked about your story. And he was like, man, be on the lookout for this young man. I'm not asking for no favors, no handouts, but I'm just asking you to take a look at my guy, man. He's got an incredible story. And, you know, he gave me a little details about everything. And from there, he was on my radar. And I've been checking ever since. And you've never disappointed, you know, something from the EPs that you dropped, from me seeing you perform at Payday LA, and just being a genuine individual out here in these streets. But talk about your relationship with Cron Don first. And then your story, man, who you are. Obviously, you hail from South Central. But how did you get into the music game and, you know, your struggle and your upbringing?
Well, I met Cron Don, you know, like 2016, after like a little situation I had, and then a dude by
Brandon. You don't have to hold the shit steady, so we're not getting vertigo watching you.
My bad. And the homie, rest in peace, Brandon Finley. I don't know if you guys know a dude named Brandon Finley, but he just passed away.
Yeah, man.
Crazy accident, man. But Brandon Finley had put me together with Cron. And then, you know, from then, Cron has always been like an older homie in the game, showing me, working with me, introducing me to guys like yourselves. Like, he always used to say, like, man, whatever we do, we got to get it to Homegrown Radio first. We got to get you with Chuck and Head first. We got to get it to Homegrown first. Like, he was real adamant about me like, linking up with y'all. So then when I met y'all, I was like, oh, man, like, this, it's love. Like, you know, it was real genuine. But Cron, a good dude, man, you know, like, a real solid dude, real, like, vet, OG in the game. You know, I learned a lot from him, you know, especially, like, the aspect of, like, not, like, asking for handouts or not asking for favors, like, but really, really earning your spot in the game, especially on the coast, you know, in the city, you know, because it's a lot of great talent out here and it's a lot of spitters out here. And he never wanted to, like, use, like, his influence to be, like, you know, to force people to kind of, like, mess with me. He always wanted to be, like, nah, nigga, you got to come in here and you got to brush your move and you got to show them that you really, really belong here. Because I'm only going to say so much, you feel me? I'm not about to hold your hand and you know, just be like, just because I'm crying down, you're not about to get in off my work, man. You got
right. I did the work. I'm done. I got the show I'm shooting. You got to worry about your own, bro.
Got to put your own work in around here, homie.
Oh, God. Yeah, he basically AWACS me.
Like, yeah. Hey,
what you gonna do? So, like, you know, so with that, him instilling that, like, that mindset in me, it was always like, oh, I gotta go out here and prove myself, and I gotta like go out and get it. So that's why when I be rapping, I be sounding so hungry, because yeah, it's like, you know, it's now or never sometimes. That's how I be feeling, like every time I step up, it's like either do or die, you feel me?
What was your upbringing like as far as like coming up? I mean, in the city, we kind of like you being from South Central, like me and Chuck from Carson. So like being from we from different sides of the city,
yeah,
and I always try to explain to people that are not from here that it's differences in where you grow up, yeah, in the city. But your come up, how has that influenced your music? Because you speak a lot about real shit and real things that are going on.
Yeah, I mean, South Central, I mean, y'all from Carson, but we all know what it is, like, you yeah know. So I grew up a single parent home. You know, my mom raised us all. I'm the oldest of five. My damn dad, actually, yeah, for real. So she a strong lady, little lady too, crazy lady. Like, y'all meet her, like, she ain't taking no mess neither. Like, bro, you like, you 4'11", you gotta chill,
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
But you know, she a strong woman, you know, and then. I mean, she a real big part of my life, you feel me? But you know, like I said, like a single parent. My dad actually been in jail my whole life. Like, he got incarcerated when I was like 2 years old, you feel me, for like gangbanging in the 90s. Gangbanging late 80s, early 90s, gangbanging. He's like full effect with that shit. So, you know, he got caught up early. And always, you know, I was never like mad at him or nothing. I never felt the way, because I always felt like he really didn't have no guidance, you feel me? He really didn't have nobody to show him what to do or how to do it. He was just, you know, learning how as he went. You feel me? Yeah, it's just life. So, you know, that happened. And then, you know, growing up in South Central, you know, I just always try my best to stay out the way. Cause it's hard. I mean, it's easy to get caught up, man. It's hard to stay out the way. And you know, most of my family, if not all, most of my family, they in the streets, they gang members, you feel me? But they always taught me like, you don't want this life, because it's only gonna end up two ways. You're only gonna end up dead or in jail. You feel me? They know you rarely beat the streets. You know, you rarely beat the streets. And if you do, you're gonna go do some time, and then you're gonna get out that motherfucker. Then you got a decision to make. Like, what you gonna do? You either gonna, yeah, you gonna still play this lane, or you gonna change your life? But you done already waste 5-7 years. You know, so I always try to like out the way. You know, I was real heavy in sports, real involved in sports, hence the name Undrafted. I played football, so I always thought I was going to try to go league and stuff, but you know, sometimes it don't always happen like that. But
did you, when you spoke on your dad being in jail, you're pretty much your whole life, do you happen to know, because we had everything with the election go down with Joe Biden and all that, do you happen to know if your dad was directly affected by, you know, the crime bill of the 90s and shit like that? Do you happen to have any knowledge on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Joe Biden signed a 3-strike rule, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no. So no, Joe Biden. So, well, yeah, that was part of it.
Indirectly.
But he was a part of that whole little circle. I know for sure. Like, they right all like, I mean, I'm not too familiar with the politics, but I know like that whole little him, yeah, the vice president and yeah, Bill Clinton, they was all like a crew. So yeah, my dad was affected by that, definitely. But I just talked to him, I want to say like a few Sundays ago, 3-4 Sundays ago, and he trying to get out, you know, because he's been in there for so long, you know, and he trying to implement good behavior. So he got to go see the board. It's like procedures that they try to get people out, but you know, I mean, hopefully it happens, you know. So he's been in there for a long time. I feel you've been in there that long. I mean, I'm 29 years old. He's been in there since I was two. That's wow, what, 26 years. It's like, yeah, you know. It's a long time.
You mentioned not holding anything against him. And I commend you for that, because a lot of people have that chip on their shoulder, not having that male role model, not having that figure. But you did also speak on being able to kind of communicate with him and talk to him over the years and stay in contact with him. Was that a part of the reason why you were able to kind of like foster that relationship with him? Because it's not like he ran out. It's not like, I mean, he's in jail, but it wasn't like he didn't want to be in your life. You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean, because when you're young, you don't understand it. Especially, you know, like I said, I play football. So you go there, you see a nigga's daddies and shit, buying them cleats, spatting them up. I don't know shit. I'm getting whack cleats. My mom buying
Like, just get the ones with the, yeah, that should work. Yeah. Like,
I'm like, nah, these is trash. You're like, no, I don't care about none of that. They all work the same. Like, you know, so it's like, so you just be like, damn, man, nigga had a daddy around or somebody that kind of understood what was going on, then it'd be different. But then, you know, like I said, like you said, Chuck, I'm on the phone, I'm talking to him, I'm communicating with him. I'm starting to understand his thought process early, though, too, because I'm still exposed to a lot of stuff around me early, you know, it's a lot of shit that's going around me early. So then I'm hearing his conversations, and then I'm matching it to what I'm seeing, and I'm understanding like, bro, probably didn't really have no choice. Right. Like really, when I really think about it, like, you know, ninth grade education, like what else he don't really gonna do, you know?
Yeah.
So just like when I'm growing up, I'm seeing what type of circumstances my friends is getting put in, and then I'm understanding what type of circumstances it is in the streets and what type of opportunities we're given. It's like, I mean, he really didn't have too many options, you know. And you know, my mom was a good woman. She ain't never talked bad of him. She always was like, you know, he did what he did trying to take care of y'all, you know. So
now I think that's key
all,
too.
And that's all he
that's
knew.
Very
yeah.
key. That's very key. Yeah. That relationship, because I think a lot of times when you're in that situation, like, you know, parents, being a parent now and having a almost 3-year-old, I realize how much the kids absorb with your your energy. Without you having to say certain things, they could pick up on body language. They could pick up on your energy. They know what's going on. So you got to give props to moms for that, because, you know, it could have been, and we've seen it. We've seen different situations where the moms is ragging on the dad or vice versa. Yeah. And it's like, you don't see that love early on. And then you expect relationships down the line, you kind of pick that up and feel like that's normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then niggas grow up hating they pops. And then sometimes, you know, I always feel like, too, like, you know, I didn't have to try to fill his shoes, or I didn't have nothing to prove. And he always made that a point, too. Like, I done did everything out here. So you ain't got to go run behind me and try to go prove yourself. You don't, you know, it ain't nothing for you to prove. It ain't nothing for you to do. You ain't going to get nothing out of it.
So, now, what's really interesting about that, though, Bill, I mean, you talk about, you know, avoiding the streets. You talk about your family kind of being, like, really surrounded by that. You talk about getting into sports, right? But you talk about it, but you don't. And I just want to bring it up just for the sake of the conversation, because, you know, people that are getting introduced to you. One of the things Krondon was telling me is, and the reason why it stood out, he told me about the situation and you getting shot and being on life support, bro. And if anybody, you know, this the introduction, go check out a song that Bell has called Greater. And I feel like the way you described that situation, you said something like 29 days, did a lot of thinking, seven days. What was the other part?
7 whole days I was in a coma dreaming. I was in a medical-induced coma. For everybody that don't know or that's getting to know me, on August 3rd, on my 25th birthday, I was shot 28 times.
Wait. God damn, dog. 28 times.
Yeah, I was shot 28 times. They took 28 bullets out of my body.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, I was in a coma for 7 days.
Hold on. Before you get into the story, because I want you to break down the story. My question was, how does somebody that's trying to stay out of the streets, doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, get caught up in a situation like that? So it's your birthday.
I mean, it's my birthday, but the thing is, so I'm gonna just keep it. I live in the A-Trays. So my birthday is August 2nd. Mm-hmm. Dayhood day is August 3rd. You feel me? So I was just in the wrong place at the right time. You feel me? Which happened to be in front of my house. Like, I mean, we still stay there. I could literally walk you, like, from where I got shot to my house, like, you know. So imagine having to wake up and see that every day and live it every day. That shit took a lot for me to, you know, it took a lot for me to get over, you know, just mentally. But I mean, it's just like we were just saying earlier, like, it's so easy to get caught up like that fast, you know, that fast, me and being right there at that time, like, it's easy. And also, I always try to look at it as like, I probably just took the karma from my family. A lot of shit that people was doing, because I don't know if that would happen to somebody else in my family, would they be able to bear that? You feel me? So I just had to take that one. I just had, like, for lack of the better words, I had really had to eat that bullet. You feel me? So it just
I'm not fucking with you. I'm not finna play with you. You like, we're not gonna do that. You know what I'm saying?
That was a perfect alley-oop for a joke right there.
Because I'm not gonna get that. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not taking that.
No, hey, man, that's what we're here for, man. Because now, you know, I done been through it, you know? Like, it's, sometimes, you know, when I reflect it, when I try to, like, you know, niggas still dealing with trauma. But, you know, I had to normalize it also to get over it. So I had to say, I had to tell myself, like, man, this shit happened. Hey,
you know what's so interesting about what you just said? Like, you had to normalize it. I was talking to a couple of the homies, and it's crazy how people in our circumstances that come up, like Black and brown people, right? Black and brown people that come up in our environments normalize trauma to the point where we get desensitized to it. And yeah. I was trying to explain this to a white woman, and she was like, you should never be desensitized to violence. And I'm like, well, when you see it, like you see the ice cream truck, it becomes the same thing. If I see an ice cream truck and I see in the Lotero, right? Yeah. And then I see somebody getting shot, it's the same shit to me. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah, not for real. And you got to kind of be like that, or you kind of not like going to survive out here.
Exactly. You got to be on survival
like,
mode.
You got to be like, fuck it, that's normal. Because if you let it get to you, let it get to your brain. You know, I done seen niggas draw games just because they couldn't handle that. Just because it was so hard to be an individual. It was so hard for them to be like, nigga, I'm just going to stand on my own too. Because they wasn't tough enough really mentally. And then they get put on, and then they the niggas that end up telling, and then everybody go down. Just because he wasn't even strong enough to be an individual. And so that's what I had to learn early. Like, I got to be strong enough to even deal with this, to keep on pushing so I can keep my own shit together.
One of the things that I respect about you, though, bro, is and even after I knew that information, and even after, you know, listening to the music, it's not something that it's like a reoccurring story. It's like you don't use that as a marketing ploy. And that's why I fuck with it. Like, I feel like people bring it up more than you bring it up. You know what I'm saying?
About it. That ain't gonna help if I bring DJ Head to the studio, be like, hey, Head, I got Head. And then he listens to my music, he still ain't gonna.
They ain't gonna
he ain't fucking with it. It ain't gonna make him like it no more.
Right.
Bro, I know you in a coma, but this song is trash, bro. Like,
hey, Bill, wake up.
Hey, when you wake up, this song's still gonna be trash, bro.
Oh, what? Man.
No, but yeah. You know, like, when you take a case like even like 50, you feel me? Like 50, that happened to him, right? Because everybody tried to say that's more than 50, but that happened to him. But still, like, get rich or die trying is still a great body of work. That's still a great album. Like, regardless, I mean, it may have been the ice cream, like, been the topping for it or whatever you want to call it, the dessert, but the album is the meat and potatoes. Like, that shit make him even more like, damn. Mm-hmm. And this nigga got shot. You feel me? And he got shot. It's not like he got shot and he got a good music. It's like he got good music and that happened to him. So that's all I always wanted to be about. You feel me?
Can I ask a question just based on ignorance? Because I've never been in that situation. And just for people who probably in my scenario, when you do, like, in the moment, because I've been in I was in a car accident, right? And it was a pretty fucked up car accident. But in the moment, I wasn't thinking about this could be it. Like, this could be the end. You know what I'm saying? I was thinking like, oh, shit, I got to do Homegrown tonight. Like, I swear to you.
No, that's some real shit. Like,
on the freeway, I crawled out onto the freeway and called Chuck and told him, like, hey, I was in the car accident, but I'm going to try to make it to do Homegrown. Yeah. And, I didn't realize how fucked up I was, to be honest with you. So in that moment, when you're there and you're like, okay, I'm being shot at. Okay, I was hit. Okay, I'm bleeding. Like, what are the thought processes in that stage of that? Like, how does that work?
For me, because I instantly had a collapsed lung, so I couldn't breathe.
Instantly?
But it was like, oh yeah, collapsed lung. Like, I couldn't breathe. Like, I swear to God to you, this is no lie. Like, I never thought I was gonna, like, die. I just always, like, I just gotta get on that little respirator thing. That little thing that they put over your mask and breathe.
Hey, give me the breathing shit. Yeah. Give me the breathing shit now.
Yeah.
You was ahead of all this COVID shit. You was a...
Give me the mask.
Like, yeah, and then, you know, because it's crazy, because, like, my mom and my brothers and sisters, they was in the house, you feel me? Like, I'm telling you, like, this happened, literally happened in front of my house. So everybody ran out there, and everybody over me, like, screaming. And I'm like, look, I just need every, I tell this to everybody. I just need everybody to back up, because I can't breathe. And y'all taking the oxygen that I do have.
Are you, like, you talking shit? Like,
I swear to God, this is the honest to God truth. I'm telling you, like, if you ask my cousin that was there, Zay,
bro,
one day we meet him, I'm trying to tell y'all. So I'm just like, just back up, and I just kept telling myself, like, if I could get on this respirator thing, this little breathing machine, I'm gonna be good. And then shit, I woke up 7 days later, and then there I was. Well,
when you were like trying to breathe, right, and you was telling, look, everybody back up, chill out, this is nothing. But they looking at you and seeing the carnage, right?
No, because the initial report was I got shot in the face 4 times. Because I got shot in the face twice. Well, really 3, because it's in my top of my eyebrow. But, like, I got shot in the face twice. So it was so much blood over my face. Everybody was like, oh, yeah, man, he dead. He got shot in the head. Like, this is my little brother telling my homies this. Nah, because he didn't know. He was sick, though. You know,
crazy, bro.
Yeah, he yeah, bro, he got shot in the face 4 times. Like,
it's over.
It's over. It's a wrap. But me, I'm just like, I can't breathe. I don't even know I got shot in the head. Yeah. You feel me? Like, I felt it, but you don't feel it because it was a lot of bullets, and that shit was just hot. And I'm like, I just got to keep on running. But I didn't really get too far.
he said, bro, you don't realize you're running, but you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, I ain't going nowhere.
So, okay. All right. So, all right. For real. So, like, when after that point, you said you just woke up in the house. So, do you realize when you were starting to go to sleep?
Yeah. Oh, like when I was on the ground and shit.
Yeah. Did you realize? Like, oh, I'm blacking out. I'm passing out.
Yeah. So I felt that too. So I was just like, I gotta try to stay up. But I didn't pass out till the ambulance came and put the thing over my face. I do remember that.
This nigga said, I got the mask.
I got it.
I made it to the mask.
I made it, and then I just blacked out. I didn't even know I was in the coma that long. I didn't even feel like that, you know. I just woke up.
Were you well rested when you came out of the coma?
Nah, hell no. I was dehydrated. I was tired. I woke up. They had like my hands was taped and shit because they had to put me in a coma because the way my body was reacting, like when they was doing surgery on me, I was like snatching shit out of me. So they had to really put me in a coma, put me down. And then when I woke up, I was like low key. I was in shock, low key. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, damn, I'm alive. But am I alive? Because I didn't know what was going on because I couldn't move. And then I started looking around and I started seeing ambulance. I mean, not ambulance. Nurses and shit walking around, and then I'm like, okay, I think I'm alive. Then I'm trying to get myself out the shit because I don't know what's going on, and they put me down again. It was just they gave me some morphine to knock me out, and then when I woke up, my mom and my auntie and my grandma was in there, and the main doctor that did the surgery on me, Dr. Henneke, shout out Dr. Henneke, real good dude.
Shout out.
He was like, shit, are you ready? Like, are you calm? I see my mom and shit. I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
Damn. I think, and I mean, we can move past it, but I just felt like I wanted you to tell that experience for people because I think they take it lightly because of how well you handle the situation. But it's something that is a lot of nobody pretty much will ever experience that and live to tell about it. Like, I'm sure your percentages when you say I was shot 28 times, like they just, like you said, your little brother was like, yeah, you know.
No, yeah. I woke up, then like, you know, I woke up, I'm talking to the nurse and shit. He like, yeah, man, I done been working here like 5 years. People with your injuries, they don't even like make it. Like, I think you only had like a 5% chance of living. He told me that.
Wow.
The nurse. He's like, you only had like a 5% chance of living. Like, I don't even know how you still here. Wow. Like, I got the papers. I just looked at them, and it looked like somebody got like into a bus crash, like somebody got hit by a bus, like that's what the shit looked like everything that was wrong with me. So just reading the report is like crazy.
It's an incredible story, bro. Like no, all bullshit aside, like just your testimony alone spiritually is enough for you know, multiple lifetimes.
No, thank you.
And I think just to kind of circle back, when it comes to the music, you know, it's like, oh, I got a story to tell. I have a purpose beyond just music, but you can utilize music as that avenue. And again, whenever I see you perform, anytime I hear the music, I'm like, damn, you. And I didn't even think I told you, man, you hear the pain, you hear, you hear the story. Even if you're not directly talking about that, you just hear like, oh man, he's actually going through some shit. And I feel like that testimony is going to help a lot of people out, you know, the more success that you get, or even if it's not even a success, the more people that hear you and hear that story, you know, it can help out a lot of people, bro. So that's dope.
At first I was kind of didn't want to tell it to, not only because I was doing music and shit and I didn't want to feel, but I didn't want nobody to feel like sympathy for me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to feel like, oh man, he telling me the story for him to feel bad.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't until recently somebody told me like, nah, you got to tell that shit because it could help somebody. You don't never know what you could do for somebody. So like that happened to me to tell somebody else to probably help somebody else out. You know, like, I'm just a vessel.
I'm going to tell you some real shit, right? And I've never said this publicly ever. No, never talked about this ever. But my grandmother was a bigot growing up. Like my grandmother didn't really like Mexican people, right? Latino. Yeah. And I'm writing about it in my book. And I went to my mom before I started writing about it in my book that I'm writing currently. And I asked her, you know, am I overstepping for talking about, you know, this type of shit, because it involves other people. And my mom told me the realest shit ever. She said, your story is yours to tell.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Regardless of how anybody feel about it, regardless of what, anything that goes on, that gave me the forethought to be like, okay, I'm going to tell my story and my truth regardless. Mm-hmm. Right. So I want you to have that same thought process as you progress in your career. However it comes out, it could be DJ Head shit on me on my music when he first heard it, or it could be Chuck Dizzle gave me his number and never picked up the phone. Whatever your truth is, that's what it is. And can't nobody take that away from you.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, for sure.
Now, I do want to get into the music, man. You got a couple of EPs that's out there right now. I mean, take the people through the journey of the music that you have. I feel like there's a very unique class that you're in right now with a lot of the upcoming artists from LA. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to TF. Shouts out to Drebo. I can keep on going. There's a lot. Triz, there's a lot of artists that's out there that's doing their thing. Talk about you guys' story. And the music that you have out right now, so people can actually go and support it, download it, and, you know, press play on it, go to the backstory. But also, like, how you are setting yourself apart from the other artists from LA that's out here. Like, you just told a crazy story, but how do you now wrap that into the music and make sure you separate yourself from everybody else?
Well, I got three EPs out, Hard Time Shaped Me, The Score, and then Live from the Trenches. For them three EPs that's out. And I mean, consistency and, like, you know, trying to get better than the next project, you know, and that's how I'm trying to separate myself. And also low key, I'm also tuning in to, like, everybody that got shit going on, like, you know, the Nas of the world. I mean, I fuck Nana with the Griff Tyler. He's super hard, you know, like the Epics, the KD Devons, like all them dudes is hard. So they keep me on my toes. And only way I can stay sharp is if I should show them love and tap in too. You feel me? Because, like, I mean, we all trying to put on for the city. We all trying to, you know, make the city look good. So I feel like what they say, still sharp and steel. So I'm just trying to, you know, make sure every time I step to the plate, like I said, like, I'm giving my all every time. Like, it ain't no half step, and I'm not slacking. I'm coming correct.
When do you think you'll be ready for a full body of work? Because you dropped the EPs. When do you feel like in your head, like, okay, now I'm ready for the world to receive a full album?
Yeah, man. I think I'm on the real 92 right now. So I think it's that time. And you know, I feel like, you know, I'm confident enough now too to give y'all 12 to 15 songs, you know, something solid, a good work, you know. And I remember we talked to DJ Head too, not just making boutique music, you know, not just making I remember love that, it. You know, not just making shit that only my people kind of want to hear, or a small group of people want to hear, shit that everybody want to hear, and really making records, not just like raps.
Yeah.
So I'm understanding that concept more.
That you soak that shit up, bro, because it takes people a lot of trial and error and a lot of years to really absorb. And I just wish we had people around when we was doing our thing to kind of like help guide us and tell us shit that we could be doing. I mean, eventually we had like Julio G's and shit tap in, but for the most part, our journey was on our own. So I love that you taking heed to that and you open to that. But I was going to ask you about being on the road, because I saw, I think you was out on the Crash Talk tour.
Is that? Yeah.
So being out on the road and being relatively an unknown artist, but on the road on some shit like that, that gotta be massive. And I would imagine was it intimidating, or did you feel like you belonged there?
No, I feel like I belong there, honestly. Cause I mean, we did a Currency show. We did a tour with Currency too. It's not as big, but you know, it was like, I don't know. I feel like that helped me to do the Crash Talk tour.
Got you.
You feel me? That gave me like a little small preparation, because you know that the Schoolboy Q tour, them that's a lot of people in there. Like it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. And like you said, they don't really know you. But I mean, I feel like they could feel you giving me your all. You feel me? I feel like the crowd could feel like when you, like as a new artist, when you step on the stage, and the crowd could feel like if you got the confidence, or they could feel if you defeated. You know? And they're gonna give you that same energy you give back. If you out there giving your all, you got people that's gonna get lit. And it only take a small little section. And once that section keep going, then the middle section go, then the right section go. And then after the show, you get people like, oh man, you were super dope. Even if it's 10 or even if it's 20 or if it's 100, you know, just the opportunity to do that is a blessing.
What's a lesson that you learned while on the road? Like something that maybe you recover from, like, I don't know if it's something during performing, like, oh yeah, I won't do that shit again. Or I seen somebody else.
Schoolboy Q. Don't smoke with Schoolboy Q.
Q smoked before the whole show start. And then he go out there and give like 110%. I'd be like, bro, how you do that? Like, what's up with you? He different.
Yeah.
He will smoke the pre-show. He play oldies and smoke weed the whole before the show. Like, yeah, I tried to smoke with him before the show. It wasn't happening. Yeah, they almost fell. You know what you can't do? When the stage is super big, bro, don't jump off of it. Just stay there.
Wait a minute. Did you stage dive?
No, hell no. You know the stage, and then it's like the little piece where
it's
like
in between
the barrier.
The barricade. Yep.
Yeah, bro. I try to jump back down there and jump back on stage, and I look like an idiot trying to climb back on stage.
He like, hey, help me up. Hey.
Oh God.
I'm still trying to come on. My song's still on.
Bingo.
Oh God. Bingo, help me, Bingo. Bingo. You know, like you can't do that. That's a no-no. Nigga look like an idiot. Like, you know, they be recording the show. I'm all on the other side trying to pull myself up. Nigga kind of buzz and shit. Like, bro, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
Nah. Did you ever
just stay on stage, bro?
Did you ever get into any clowning matches? Because Q got jokes, you know what I'm saying? And I'd be watching footage of, like, shout out to S-Mac, shout out to like a bunch of other people, but I felt like being on the road or being on any type of road with Q,
you gotta have tough skin.
You gotta have thick skin, bro. Like, you gotta have thick skin.
No, they laughing at you for nothing though. They just making up shit to laugh. They laughed at me about jumping down the thing. Like, that's why I never do that again. I was the butt of the joke for like two cities.
Like, they're like, that nigga can't get up.
Yeah, for real.
So but now, I also saw footage of Practical Jokes being played, and I was just like, bro, we be at the fight.
Yeah. No, I didn't get no drugs played on me. I stayed out the way. You don't hop in that lane if you ain't ready for that lane.
Right.
You know, niggas be doing crazy shit. I've been in the audience. Smack, that's Smack and Q Fade. That's hilarious. Keem is also funny too.
Yeah.
Keem is hilarious too. So it's funny. Them dudes
the song. Hilarious. I want to get into some music real quick. The song for me, what's it called? Fortunate.
Okay, yeah.
That shit is so hard, bro.
Nah, thank you.
That shit is so hard. I know you came with the song after the, I think it's Like This. But yeah. But Like This is cool. That's cool. That Fortunate song, bro, that shit is hard.
What is it about Fortunate that you like, though?
Huh?
What is it about Fortunate that you like?
I think the confidence that you had on that record, I felt like when you recorded the song, I could feel your energy when you were. I always tell artists this, you know how like when you're recording a song and you'll go in the booth, right? So when you go in the booth to record the song,
God damn, he man, what the fuck you doing?
When you go in the booth to record the song,
they could be riding that bike,
right? Tear the motherfucking mic off and shit.
When you go in the booth to record the song, you might do multiple takes of the same song. So you might do your verse four times. On that fourth time, though, you got to deliver the verse the same way you did the first time.
Yeah.
And so when I'm listening to the song, I can hear the energy in it. Like, I can hear the vibe that you were trying to create with the record. That's part one. The other part is the production is so fucking cold. Mo, is that?
Yeah, Mo.
The production, that the way that beat is so hard, and the way you were able to flow on that beat, I felt like it was a perfect marriage of I can get Bell, but I can get who Bell could be too, could be as well. You get what I'm saying?
No, you're like the next level of him. Like, yeah. You know, him evolving. And I feel like that record, that's what that record was for me too, like a growing point. You feel me? Like, okay, I'm leveling up. It feel like I'm leveling up when I'm writing it, when I'm recording it. Like you said, the energy I brought, me picking the production, what type of beats I want. Like, I feel like I'm just leveling up as an artist. Like, I'm finding myself more, you know? And that's a journey too, that when you first start doing music and shit, you don't even like expect. Like, damn, you really got to find yourself in this. Like what I'm gonna sound like, what I sound good on, what I don't sound good on. So I feel like that's what you said was spot on here. Like it's me evolving and growing, and that's why I sound so good like that, you know.
Now I want to take it back. Felt good. My bad. Well, I want to take it back a little bit.
From Fortunate, it's a line on the song I want to ask you about. Unfortunately, you was talking about you said something about the strap in your JanSport.
Booking the strap in my JanSport backpack.
Yes. So I remember talking to some of the homies, right? And we were talking about how the mentality of Black and brown people is different than others, right? And mm-hmm. So different things that you have to think about on a day-to-day basis like that. That. People always say, I'd rather get caught with it than without it. Especially with the shit you done been through. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, do you feel like that energy is that it, do you feel like when you say strapping my backpack or strapping my JanSport, do you feel like you bring that energy to you when you think that way and when you move that way? Or do you think that that's something that's already in the water and you just have to be ready for it?
I think it's a little bit of both. I'm not gonna lie. Cause if you do got it on you, you gotta use it, then you probably gonna have to use it. But I mean, if you're not looking for it, then it ain't gonna come to you. You get me? But it's also like what you said, it's just like, shit, this is my environment, you know? Like, this is what I'm around, this is what I'm lived in, this is where I'm at. So it's like, they either gonna get me or I'm gonna protect myself. And I'm not trying to say that in a bad way, you know? And also, I felt like the bar was kind of like an entendre, because it was also like the duality. Like, you know, I got a book in here, I could go this way, but I also got the blower in here and I could go this way. So that's why that shit was like so crazy to me.
For sure.
No, I want to take it back, man. Early days of Bell, man. Inspirations. What's the first album that Bell bought with his own money? Like, I want to get the one that was gifted to you first, right? First piece of music. And then the one that you were able to actually purchase with your own money, like that you were invested in to actually purchase.
I'm not gonna lie. I mean, don't kill me for this though.
Go ahead.
The first one that was given to me, like the first piece of music that was given to me, I had a cassette player. My mom gave me.
Come on.
My mom bought me Butter Love by Nex.
Hey, that was the wave.
Hey, but you got that motherfucker back though.
Running my back, right? So, okay,
mom. I'm like, what is this? Like, you know, like, well, she brought me like
a, you got that love player. That I want.
But I feel like that's the shit that came with it. Like, she probably brought it from the swipe. So, I mean, she was like, okay, we got this next in here for you, too.
Yeah.
But the first thing I ever bought, like, with my money was, well, I didn't buy it. I downloaded that shit for free. I ain't gonna even lie. That's where I came from.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got that college dropout.
As you should.
That's 04. So that's like the first man.
Piece so of at that point, was that like, oh, I can actually do music. I'm writing on my own. I'm kind of doing, or is it just strictly consuming at this point?
Yeah, that's just consuming it, you know.
Got it.
The Kanye's, the 50 Cent's, the Wayne's, the Snoop's, you feel me? Like, I got an older cousin. He was influential in my life, too. So he went to college, and every time he came back, he would always come back was like, oh, man, you heard this? Have you heard this? He used to put me on a lot of different music. And that's why I was like, you know, that's when I'm like, oh, this shit hard. Like, you know, I'm starting to understand it more. I'm starting to understand what shit means. I'm not just listening to the beat. I'm actually listening to the lyrics. So, you know, yeah.
Who was your lyrical inspirations as far as like how you rhyme?
I got a lot. I really like Corrupt. I like the type of energy he be bringing. You feel me? I fuck with Corrupt. I fuck with Corrupt. I fuck with Wayne, and I fuck with Nip too. I know that probably sound like cliche because I'm from the West Coast, but like Nip, I really feel like he like top five like all time to me. In my book, just like the shit that he be saying, and then you listening to what he's saying, like bro, he's super crazy, he dope.
Do you think that would have been the same prior to his passing? Like, did you hear me out? Were you on the same tip of like, yo, Nip is top five before he passed or after he passed?
Before.
Okay, no, I want you to make that clear.
Because I feel like the victory laps is like, I don't know, like I feel like he really, like I don't know, maybe because the coastal thing too, that could probably be a thing too. But it's like
it's a flawless record.
Yeah, man, I was sitting on my link and I started thinking, and they ain't gonna make 100,000 in these streets. In like that's some real shit I could really see. Like man, like damn, you never gonna do that for me. Like being where I'm from, you know.
It's yeah.
Like, you know, like
do you think that when we talk about like the Nip thing, right? Do you think that I noticed that the world kind of was like, damn, when it happened, right? But we from here, so we was already on, right? But how do you feel about the world catching on to somebody because of them passing? Like, do you resent that energy? Do you embrace that energy? Like, how does that work? You know how, like, if somebody's like, man, I was on bail from the beginning before Homegrown put him on the air, or how do you feel about that?
I mean, that's tough. That is tough. Cause love is love, right? You're supposed to embrace it however you could get it. I'm gonna take it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like at least he was able to leave something. At least he didn't leave with nobody not knowing him. Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate and sad that it had to happen like that. But at least he left with something, and he left some shit. Like I feel like him passing that changed a lot, man. Just how people thinking, how people living, especially young artists coming up, you feel me, and what he kind of mean to us, you feel me? So
yeah.
I feel like his energy, he ain't really going to me because I feel like his energy's still around, bro. That shit's still like, it's alive.
The only reason why I asked that is because, you know, I remember I was 13 when Pac passed, And I knew who Pac was, but I wasn't really a Pac fan like that until after he passed. I remember the moments. I was a fan enough to know, you know, what had happened and the severity of it, and, you know, be upset, like literally be brought to tears when he passed. But I didn't really dive into the music until after the fact. And then he had so much music that dropped after the fact that you were still able to kind of consume. And I feel like the world embrace Pac a lot more after the fact than they did before, right? Doesn't change the situation. He was still the same Pac, right? But that, unfortunately, in his demise, like, it allowed his music to live on, and people that had no idea, like, bro, at the radio station, I talked to people that were literally, I say, yo, when's your birthday? And they tell me they were born after Pac was, after he died, right?
Yeah.
So it's like they own it. They love his music like that. So it's like, damn, had he not passed, unfortunately, a lot of people might not have been put on like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's like that, that weird
that's what I'm saying.
Way of kind of thinking of it.
It's tough, like, damn, like, I mean, but Pac was great enough to leave something behind.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's how I always looking at it. Like, man, at least he left something. At least he just didn't leave it. It was like, oh, it's another one gone. You feel me? He left something. And it's like gaming that motherfucker and his passion and his pride in there. You know, it's like, okay, something that you could really go stand on, you know? Yeah. So
I want to switch gears real quick. There's a couple of questions we asked, and I want to make sure that we get on before we conclude. But what's one thing you want to make sure the year doesn't end without Bale doing what? You know, this is your chance to be intentional with your thoughts manifesting. I see you got the board in the background, so I know you writing your shit down. I love seeing stuff like that, right? Yeah. So what's the year can't end without Bale doing what?
Dropping that full-length project, man. Giving y'all some great music, man. Dropping a great body of work. Like, that's what I'm really shooting for this year, to really do it and making it stand out. And, you know, hopefully it take me, like, I'm on, y'all fuck with me, and hopefully it elevate not only me, but the quality of the city and what type of music we putting out. You feel me?
Because,
you know, seeing y'all push the flag like that is like, man, we got to do it for the city, you know? Got to try to elevate it, you know? Sure. So, yeah.
Do you think, I'm sorry, go ahead, Chuck. Do you want to do the other one?
No, I was going to ask him about his hotspot, man. In a positive light, you know, homegrown hotspot. If you're playing tour guide, what's one spot that somebody has to touch down on when they come to the city? You know what I'm saying? As far as food, like where they got to go to get some good food that Bell is going?
It's so many places.
I know. I only got to say one.
Yeah,
give us one. Just one. It's like your go-to spot.
I'm gonna go to Happy Fish. Happy Fish right there on Manchester and Harvard.
Word.
That's a good spot. But you know, you also got Madeir's. That's a great spot. The best chicken in LA is dangerous to get it, but Manchester and Normandy at Louisiana. I think it's more the excitement, like the
same.
I'm gonna get some chicken.
I'm over here.
Yeah. Nah, but you know, I'm cool over there. You feel me? So it's like, yeah. But Happy Fish, bro. If you like fried fish,
I gotta try that.
I'm trying to tell you, Manchester, Harvard. Look, whenever you're around, hit me. We're gonna pull up together.
Bro, Chuck, going get some over there, bro. Fish.
I need. we gotta do a homegrown hotspot with Bell, man.
Bro, they got jumbo shrimp, regular shrimp, catfish. They got everything, bro. They got red snapper, everything, bro. Like,
I'm a badass. I'm with you,
man, his eyes get everything you name on the menu. His eyes getting beat. He's like, they got that, nigga. What?
Yeah, man. Manchester Harbor, Happy Fish, fire.
Got it.
Fire.
For sure.
Fire.
What's something that, like, there's an artist or producers that you want to work with, like, in the near future? Who's on the bucket list for you?
Who I want to work with producer wise? I really want to work with Mike and Keys.
Really?
Yeah. If I get in with Mike and Keys, I feel like we could make something crazy happen, honestly.
I think we can make something happen.
Yeah.
All right. So while we're talking about it, Mike and Keys, I want you to create the perfect track, right? In your world, like this can be on your album that's coming, right? This can be whatever, right? If you can assemble the perfect track, the producer, a feature on there, you know, who's on the hook, Like, this is your time to create the perfect song of yours, man.
Well, I just need, you know, like I said, get some. I think me and Mike Keys and make something crazy. Then I'll probably get like a because I know they could give me something soulful, real with good instruments, good productions. So I'll probably get like a West Coast female vocalist on there. I don't know. Probably I like SZA's voice. I like how that is real, like strong on there. You feel me? And then if I could get a feature, rapping somebody going crazy. Who would I feature? I don't know. I just probably have to take that to the face.
Like, hey, I got Mike and Keys and SZA.
And SZA, I'm straight. That's it. Yeah. That's all I need.
Yeah. I don't know. I got to think on that because there's so many people. I don't know. I kind of feel bad if I left somebody out. I ain't going to lie. Because there's a lot of people I want to work with.
Has anybody tapped into you that surprised you, that kind of threw you off? Like, oh, this person know who I am, or this person DM me, this person fuck with my music, this person knows my name, anything like that?
I mean, really, like, shit, man. Probably, I mean, Schoolboy Q. I mean, I didn't really think he knew me. You feel me? I mean, I got people that know him that's close to him. But like when he tap in and like, oh, bro, I'm fucking with you, or like repost my shit, you know, like say I'm fucking with you, it feel good, you know, if real.
Because he don't have to do it.
Nah, at all. And then especially also somebody from like the area, you know, showing you love that made it, to give you that like, okay, like if I keep on working, I'm gonna get there.
Yeah,
you feel me? For sure.
That's what's up.
That's it, man. Nah.
Embracing me too, because you know, like you said, you don't got to embrace me, so embracing me, so that shit is like mind blowing.
Oh man, I just look forward to everything that you got going on, bro. Like, and that's no bullshit. I've told you on numerous occasions. I'm proud of you. I love the music that you make, and I love how intentional you are about it. And I just think the best is yet to come. So I'm glad we were able to have the chance to do this. Is there anything you
want
to
ask? Stereotypical. Why Bell? Where does that come from?
Oh, that's actually my last name, and it's also like it's my last name, but I turned it to an acronym. So my last name is Bell, but Bell is Bale, and it stands for Believe, Achieve, Live, Exceed. Bell.
I love that, bro. I never knew that.
Yeah, that's what it stands for.
That's dope. I never knew that. That's crazy.
No, man, you know, just try to be as creative as possible. And like you said, intentional. All this shit is intentional, man. If you don't be moving with a 10 out here, you be out here lost, running in circles. You feel me? If you ain't got no direction, nigga, where you going? Like, it's out here walking.
Is there anything you want to tell the people out there that we haven't mentioned that you want to make sure that you mention? It could be shout out, it could be anything, bro. Just anything that we didn't mention that you want to talk about.
I mean, just, you know, shout out to everybody. Shout out to everybody that's out there working, and like you said, just go tap into the score live from the trenches. You feel me? Hard time shaped me, and you know, like I said, I'm gearing up to have a big 2021, and I kicked it off with 92.3 with Homegrown Radio. You feel me? So that's love, man. That shit, y'all don't even know, man. Like when I got the text from Silas and Head, I'm like, man, this shit crazy. I almost didn't believe it. You feel me?
I cannot believe it. This shit is crazy.
Yeah, no. So like, you know, like, and then I remember like us having these conversations, Chuck, like after the Payday LAs, like and after the show, just talking for hours, nigga. Like, you know, this is gonna happen. I got you. I'm gonna make sure it come together. And then, you know, meeting Head and then y'all making it come full circle. You feel me? That's big. So what y'all doing for the city and what y'all doing for me is like, I can't thank y'all enough for this, for real.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. How can folks follow you?
You know, everything is Bell UTL. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Bell UTL. Tap in Apple Music, you tap that in too. Spotify, everything Bell UTL.
Man, run up those strings, man. Show some love to the homegrown homie, Bell, South Central Zone. We appreciate you checking on in, bro. And we will catch everybody out there next time. Homegrown Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head. We out.